Good morning. No one whistles a symphony. A symphony is a musical journey with interwoven themes and harmonies played by a gathering of artists, each bringing their own gifts and talents to the dance of fingers and hands, breath, heart, and mind. The music is emotionally moving to hear and even more so to play. No one can whistle a symphony because in order to do each part, each thread of melody, trying to create harmony and concurrent themes, one would lose the magic, the transformative energy and flow that makes the symphony a profound mystical experience. You would lose the joy. This is our spiritual home. The Boise Unitarian Universalist Fellowship is the people, my people, our people, together. The work we do here, being at guiding children and advising youth, social justice work, financial accounting, moving chairs, or making coffee, is profound work. We are creating sacred space for growth and transformation, and none of us do it alone. Our symphony has many workings, and we all play our parts, sometimes well, sometimes not so well, but always with love for each other in our hearts and minds. At least that's what we strive for here in our spiritual home. We are many together, not one alone. Many parts nurtured and played by many individuals coming together to create beautiful music and a sacred space. A little over 3 years ago, I sat right there and listened to Elizabeth, our minister, talk about her trip to England during the time of her sabbatical in 2008. She was telling us about the Chalice Well at Glastonbury. Her description of the beautiful grounds and the sacred trees all painted a picture of a peaceful, deeply spiritual physical space. Sound familiar? At that particular time, I had applied and interviewed for this religious exploration directorship. The final decision had not been made, but I was trying it on in my head to see if it felt right, if it was my calling. Somewhere, a little later in her sermon, Elizabeth told us of the working ethos for the staff of the Chalice Well. These words are a covenant that they make with each other. As I read through the items, think about our beloved community here and the implied covenant or agreement we have with each other. One, we acknowledge Chalice Well as a place of beauty, sacredness, and peace, and we cherish it as such. As a team, we will support each other and foster the spirit of our circle. We will endeavor to have clear, open, and honest communication between us and try to resolve issues and concerns directly. Three, we will be fully present, taking pride in our work and being wholehearted in the service that we give. Four, we will act with integrity, honesty, and professionalism in all that we do. We will engender right relations and act with respect, care, love, kindness, humor, and humility. Six, we will uphold all spiritual values of goodwill and right intention. Seven, we will demonstrate environmental awareness in our working practice and aim to accomplish all things with minimal impact to the environment. Sitting in this room, listening to those seven heartfelt covenants and looking out at the swaying trees of our grove, I felt the deep connections I had with this physical space and the people breathing around me. I knew this was where I wanted to work and that the work would be my ministry. There are many aspects to this ministry, from the creative to the routine details, and I was ready to commit to them all if I was chosen. At the time, I didn't really know the extent of the paperwork and routine mundane details that was involved in the ministry of directorship. However, after 3 years, I found that there is joy to be discovered in the mundane. Last month, I attended a continuing education workshop titled Administration of Religious Education Programs in the Seattle area. Since you've all read my newsletter article, right? I won't go into too much detail, but you can imagine how I felt when I faced the prospect of 15 intense workshop hours talking about paperwork. What I didn't know was that the theme of this workshop was finding the ministry in administration. I love visual aids. Okay. After hours at looking what I do through this paradigm shift, I have come home with new eyes. And those piles of books, notebooks, and paper in my office look very different when I embrace all of my work here as a ministry. As you explore and look deeply at the work you do in your life, do those tasks appear mundane or routine at first glance? I invite you to look at those tasks with new eyes. They may very well grow to be profound and sacred. What are the ministries in your life and in the work you do here? All the work done here can be hard and tedious, and sometimes we just don't want to do it. If you were to whistle a symphony alone, you'd lose the love of music, the harmony, the arc of the musical story told. You'd lose your way spiritually. The healing, rejuvenating, transformative nature of creating beautiful music would turn to soul-draining drudge work. Thankfully, you, I, we are not alone in this symphony we lovingly call Boof. We have each other, and together we can and do create a sacred space for spiritual growth and personal and community transformation. Working together for the ministry that is religious exploration for children and youth takes many people. This program year, I have reorganized the Religious Exploration Committee into a number of decentralized dream teams. This work I do becomes a ministry when I collaborate with others and see and feel a common dream come to life. Within my vision of these dream teams, there are some familiar faces, and there are others that I don't yet recognize. Is your face among the dream teams? Do you have a dream for our children and youth that hasn't been tapped into, that you and I and others could make come true? I have dreams and goals and ideas, and they all involve you and the person sitting next to you and that person behind you, too. You are all a dream team for our children because you help to create a safe space for them to be themselves and to grow into the adults they can be. I know a particular dream team that I've been working with and collaborating with and can count on. They don't call themselves a dream team, but the idea is the same. For the last year and a half, the junior high youth and I have been exploring together, along with their families and their advisors and OWL facilitators. I would like to hold up this remarkable group of young people as a shining example of the commitment and covenant and ministry that happens here at Boof. They consider this place their faith home. They feel safe here to explore the big questions, share their feelings, take a pass during a conversation if they don't feel comfortable at the time, and work through the tough stuff together. You all have helped to create and nurture a nurturing hammock of support for these young high school youth, and they know it and feel it and respond. Here are a couple stories about these junior high youth. This last Sunday, I forgot to go into their class to recruit for the Sunday morning task that they cover on Youth Sundays at the second service, the first Sundays of the month. When I texted them all on Tuesday afternoon to recruit for the various tasks, I had 5 positive responses within 20 minutes. They all stepped up, took a role, and were happy about it. The first one who responded was a young woman who's only been coming a month or two. She volunteered to do one of the scariest tasks that many of you won't do. Maya will get up here second service this morning and read. This is an amazing place where young people are willing to take chances in front of people they hardly know. In the very recent past, these same junior high youth have been asked to help and do the mundane, and they have said yes immediately with enthusiasm and generosity. A few weeks ago, they were asked to serve as wait staff at our annual gala on March 17th. The request was very clear that they would be mentoring next year's Boston Bounders, working with kids younger than them, during the event, and that the money raised for their work would go to next year's Boston trip. When I repeated where the money would go, their response to a person was, "Of course, where else would it go?" They understood that the Boston trip was essential and transformative for them, and they wanted to give the gift to the next crop of Bounders. We are their home, and they support us. If that's not a ministry, I don't know what is. When you heard the words of the chalice well-working ethos, the staff's covenant, did you hear the ministry within as they agreed to work together for a sacred place and a common goal? The Boise UU Fellowship's current covenant is not written down. Although we have had a written covenant in the past, and you can see it in our library up on the top of the west bookshelf. It's a good one, and it's attached to our old mission statement, but we've since developed a new mission statement attached to our newer vision. Maybe it's time to develop a covenant together. But that's a topic for another day, another team of people. Maybe that's your ministry. Meanwhile, we have an unspoken covenant by virtue of joining together in this place and doing our heart's work together. I'm borrowing the following story about covenants and agreements from the Unitarian Universalist Association Tapestry of Faith adult curricula called Faith Like a River. The Tapestry of Faith curricula are a rich resource of stories, meditations, and lesson plans for children, youth, and adults. And we use their children and youth curricula in our RE classrooms every Sunday. This is The Agreement by Barry Lopez. One time, before there were any people walking around this valley, there were bear people. They had an agreement with the salmon. The salmon would come up river every fall, and the bears would acknowledge this and take what they needed. This is the way it was with everything. Everyone lived by certain agreements and courtesies. But the salmon people and the bear people had made no agreement with the river. It had been overlooked. No one thought it was even necessary. Well, it was. One fall, the river pulled itself back into the shore trees and wouldn't let the salmon enter from the ocean. Whenever they would try, the river would pull back and leave the salmon stranded on the beach. There was a long argument and a lot of talk. Finally, the river let the salmon enter. But when the salmon got up into the country where the bears lived, the river began to run in two different directions at once, north on one side, south on the other, roaring, heaving white water and rolling big boulders up on the banks. Then the river was suddenly still. The salmon were afraid to move. The bears were standing behind the trees looking out. The river said, in the middle of all this silence, that there had to be an agreement. No one could just do something, whatever they wanted. You couldn't just take someone for granted. So, for several days, they spoke about it. The salmon said who they were and where they came from, and the bears spoke about what they did, what powers they had been given, and the river spoke about its agreement with the rain and the wind and the crayfish and so on. Everybody said what they needed and what they would give away. Then a very odd thing happened. The river said it loved the salmon. No one had ever said anything like this before. No one had taken this chance. It was an honesty that pleased everyone. It made for a deep agreement among them. Well, they were able to reach an understanding about their obligations to each other, and everyone went their way. This remains unchanged. Time has nothing to do with this. This is not a story. When you feel the river shuddering against your legs, you are feeling the presence of all these agreements. In our RE classrooms, we ask questions and let the children and youth come up with their own answers. So here are a couple questions for you to ponder. In the context of our community here, who or what is the river? Who are the salmon? Who are the bear people? Are we taking anything for granted? Anyone? What are the ways members of our congregation have obligations to each other? What are the ways each person names what they need from the community and what they are willing to contribute to its well-being? The mundane and not so mundane we do here becomes a ministry because of the covenant we have with each other, and this becomes a sacred space, a beloved musical journey we create together. What would this community look like if we covenanted together to strive to treat each task or project as a ministry? Or at least look for the ministry within or around the task. To see and hold others as if they were following their calling or performing their ministry. Wouldn't we treat each other with kindness and awe? It's more than a working ethos here at Booth. It's creating a home where the family you choose lives and grows and works. Brothers and sisters together, nurturing this space where the profound and sacred dwell because we are here together, raising, guiding, and nurturing our children and each other to be our best and most ideal selves. We are a symphony.